Welcome to Nostalgia Pilots, a Gundam Wing rewatch podcast. We're up to episode 28, Passing Destinies. I'm Hugh.
I'm Jared.
And I'm Jason.
And I'm Spence.
And we're doing another live rewatch episode. Well, it's not live when you're hearing this, but you can watch along because we're going to do it in order because we have another recap show this evening.
What's even better, I was going to say, is that it's meta, not live, because we're just getting clips from episodes we've already seen.
Yes. And I still haven't watched all the previous episodes, so you get my gut reactions.
Well, you know what?
And depending on how much my mic picks up, we get my cat, who is just outside the door.
And angry about it.
Yep.
But see, I feel like with you having not watched the first 26 episodes, you would have questions that we can answer. And, you know, honestly, if there's one thing we've learned from original Gundam series, is that compilations work best. Because no one wants to go back and watch the original Mobile Suit Gundam and all 100 and some odd episodes of that really not so good show.
Yeah, I think those three movies really pare it down to just the awesome.
Yeah, and I feel like this is like these two episodes have been like the cliff notes of Gundam Wing. And honestly, that's all you need. And the best part, like, you get a great tease at the end of this episode. Like, when I can't remember if that tease was actually in the last, like, core actual episode before they did the clips or not.
It was not.
Interesting. Well, I do remember that last episode. It was basically riff tracks. And I was just giving... I didn't really get any explanation because I was just comparing it to other things.
Have you ever watched any Gundam before this?
No. I just know what it is because I've read stuff based on Gundam.
Yeah, I think by the end of this episode, you'll be pretty caught up, frankly.
Yep.
Alright.
Remember, with Gundam Wing, well, actually, honestly, up until Iron Blood Orphans, you never had a main Gundam Wing character who wasn't beautifully attractive. Like, with Iron Blood Orphans, you have the best friend who doesn't pilot anything, but but he's like kind of overweight a little bit and like kind of like the pudgy guy. Like that's the first time I've what?
Oh, poor Biscuit.
Yeah, and his name was Biscuit. Like, just. But he's the first character I've ever seen in a Gundam show that wasn't beautiful, right? Like, because you get, like, if you look at this show, look at 00, look at Gundam Seed Destiny, like, they're all beautiful.
And I think that's one of the things that I like about the animes that I do fall into is the ones that have characters that are not perfect in some way. And like, I generally gravitate towards those characters and those stories.
Well, I do think that all of the characters in the show are flawed at some level. It's just not physically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. You know, Hiro's addiction to mass murder.
And wrenches.
and murdering poor ambulance drivers.
Those kicking poor... them through doors.
And ripping up invitations to birthday parties.
I'll kill you. And she's like, and she's just like, oh, I'm so... like,
oh, high school. I've been there.
Yeah, except I feel like Relina got really riled up about that. Like, she was on for... she wanted some Hiro out of that.
Yeah, she's still waiting for Hiro to come. In her floofy pink sweater on the cliffside.
With her hair blowing in the wind in ways that physics really wouldn't allow.
I don't know. I assume she's actually on inexplicable safari through this entire period, but...
I mean, that's also possible.
Yes.
You still love that outro, don't you?
That closing credit is so good.
So... Where are people going to sync up? Because I'm watching this on Crunchyroll and I've got a sternly staring Hiro with fingers raised looking
as
back.
As do at I.
Yep, I'm at the blank screen just where that fades in because I'm following Jared's link. So we all should be around zero.
Yeah, it'll come up immediately afterwards, so I think we should be good.
All right, who's counting us down?
I don't mind doing it.
Jared, go ahead.
Absolutely. So we will, as always, go on one. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. And fingers. Jazz hands.
Jazz hands. So I've watched a lot of anime the past 2 weeks. So now I'm going to give a new take on the intro. Where, you know, the last time I was like, I think the intro is kind of useless. When it has lyrics, I kind of wish that my version of this had the translation of what they're saying in the lyrics, because it might actually relate to the whole story.
I could read them to you, but they don't really actually relate.
Okay.
And they don't make much sense. I mean, the name of the song is just, just Wild Beat Communication.
Okay.
See, I like the second song, but we're not going to get it till like way late.
Is that White Reflection?
It's Rhythm Emotion and then White Reflection. Rhythm Emotion.
Yeah. I love White Reflection. Like that, it should have been in the show. Like, it's really
good. I want to show you my passionate undying feelings with my entire body tonight.
Or tonight. My entire giant robot body.
Oh my god, yeah. Y'all are
Look at that lake sparkle like it's almost animated.
Almost. Meanwhile, in Victorian England.
Wait, is this gonna be where Trey's or was that in the first episode? Because I wasn't here for that one. Where Trey's Let's That Poor Baby Make His Own Fate.
Oh no, they didn't cut back to that.
Nope.
Cause I could have sworn that like it was on some sort of lake or some sort of like it was like he was just sitting there letting that poor child risk his life. So suspense. If you haven't noticed from Trey's, like he's a very I wouldn't call him elegant.
I don't know that they slap the water like that. I don't think that's how that goes.
Well, they do if they are reaching down for a fish. But that bird clearly is a terrible hunter.
Yeah, it looked more like it was high-fiving a fish or something. It did not.
It was enjoying the oceanic waters, the lake waters.
But it like all things that like pass the slightest bit near Trey's, like instantly becomes a metaphor for manliness.
By the way, I love how they've reused that the ship's falling to Earth sequence like 1,000 times, and it's only been like 26 episodes. Like,
yep.
I have a question about Gundan, whatever, adamantium. The metal.
Adamantium.
Yeah. Basically adamantium.
Vibranium. Okay. Unobtainium. Keep going. We got a bunch of them.
Well, I wanted to know how it related to like adamantium or unobtainium or vibranium.
They all are the same thing.
Basically, that universe's version of it.
Okay.
And this is when Trey's beat Wufei in a duel. Like, even though Wufei like jumped off of the wall,
that's like 20 feet in the air. But you gotta admit, like, Trey's part of that fight was pretty dope. Like,
yep.
The fact, like, the way he fought and the way he moved and just outdid Hiei was great. Like, it gives you a definite good place to understand Trey's. Like, you're like, this dude loves fighting. Like, and I think that's one thing you'll get throughout the rest of the show is Trey's actual love of combat, especially one-on-one combat. And his appreciation of the things you get from that. Because if you think about it, like his problem with everything is that if you make everything about robots that aren't piloted by people, then there's no point in the combat. It's just like two people smashing their toy soldiers against one another. There's no gravity to it.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there are these five super suits that, like, laser fire might as well be water against.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I hear super suits, and all I hear is Sammy J going, "Honey, where's my super suit?"
By the way, you just witnessed Zex piloting the Gundam that can be only piloted if you have the most machismo.
And here he is facing this portrait of his dad and his epic beard.
He has the same amount of hair on his... The beard doesn't
stay in one frame. I love that.
This is when he realizes that his dad has actually been Loki the entire time.
By the way, his dad has as much beard as Zex has hair.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's just jealous because his dad has that gorgeous hair growing out the front and the back.
Yeah. So his whole helmet thing reminds me of Vega from the Street Fighter series.
Mm-hmm. He does have some of that look, absolutely.
And like, it's predicting his pretty face.
And if you watch any of any more Gundam series, like in the core universe of Gundam, like Gundam mm-hmm. Seed, and so they got, there's always a villain with long hair and a mask.
Well, you know, because long hair and masks are sexy.
I don't really know what we're supposed to take from that imagery, because at one turn, Trace is shooting birds while he's on Skype calls, even though he's got other targets to be dealing with. And then in the next scene, he's just releasing random birds who are probably going to die, frankly.
It is his way of playing God.
Yeah.
It's
also very fond of playing God.
I personally feel that he is an environmentalist at heart, so the birds that he takes out of the environment, he has to put back in some way. So I feel like he has, like, yeah, he has a biologist somewhere, like, or a zoologist, like, okay, raising these birds.
He's basically Teddy Roosevelt.
This soldier that's braiding this lady's hair, I want that job. Why wasn't there that job when I was in the army?
You only get that job if you are in any faction with Trays, because he is that elegant. Like, did they in the first clip though? Did they show him in his rose petal bath?
No.
Oh, because like
I
the first.
Remember the rose petal bath.
Oh, dude, the first scene you get of him basically is in a bathtub full of rose petals,
in like a Roman ruin.
It's like he used the Colosseum as his personal bathtub.
Yeah, and he's like, and she's there like, "I'll get you more rose water. And also, I'll kill that guy for you, by the way."
Because yes. I want to do both things.
She does.
That's because Lady Un has the biggest murder boner ever.
So
I kind of like Lady Un already, even though she's a bad guy.
She is pretty great.
She's great.
So you're missing a bit of an important sequence here. So this is Sandrock, Catra's robot. It's decided basically that it's going to sacrifice itself to save him.
So wait, are the robots sentient?
No, that's not been confirmed.
This is our first hint that there's more going on with their operating system than is apparent.
And also, Catra is a space spiritualist who believes in the sentience of space.
Well, he gets a little nuts.
He's very spiritual.
Yeah, he cried
he's
about
the
space
sensitive
once. Yeah, because what was that? What was that scene he talked about early on? It was like
the soul of outer space.
Yeah. He was like crying over the soul of outer space. Like Catra's an oddball. Like although I think all of the guys here will agree that it's mainly because he has an unrequited love for Troa.
It's requited.
Oh yeah, I think it's pretty requited.
They had a like flute violin duet together. That's what that means in anime.
Oh, was that their lovemaking session?
Yes.
So okay, I do have a question though. Is Trey's horse also a robot? Like, it seems really weird that he's
that there's so much technology and yet they still have horse-drawn carriages as a main portion.
Sadly,
transporting each other.
I would say no, that is a real horse, because he only wants the best and original. He would not take a robot horse. He needs them to literally get the best, like, elegant royal horses.
If a robot horse died, it wouldn't matter.
Exactly.
He broke his helmet.
Yes. So now,
and also, where were all the people in that submarine?
The plot broke his helmet,
and now that his helmet is broken, they can no longer be friends.
Yeah, he can't just buy another helmet on Amazon and nope, whatever.
That was his favorite.
It was the friendship
helmet. Can't make another one.
And the tutor guy.
So
who's the head robot engineer who dresses like he could dress like a Napoleonic guy, but he's gonna go even more hardcore.
Do we get some inspector in this? Are we gonna get some inspector?
No, I think they like inspector out. He Ock didn't make the cut.
The sad short life of Inspector Ock. Not even worth the recap episode.
Oh man.
I wanna know who the seamstresses are, and like, do they have to learn different time periods for uniforms based on what region they're in?
Oh, I'm pretty sure Trace's seamstress has to do it the traditional way. Like, she's
sitting there hand stitching everything.
In order to get into this, you have to like provide your own uniform. So each of these guys like has someone in their Rolodex.
Yeah.
This is what happens when recreation groups get out of control, really.
Yes.
Now,
we're not that bad.
Yes, again. Like, what? Like that? That's okay. Wait. So, the robot that is the Tall Geese. And the Tall Geese, we make fun of it because we say you have to have machismo to pilot it. Because the first guy to pilot it killed himself doing so. Like, it literally killed him because of the power and the force of its movements. Yeah, because
it's just too high G-force output.
But and then in this universe, G-force can be overcome just by mental exertion. Like, if you believe it enough, you can overcome excessive G-force.
Yeah, so
you strain hard enough.
And so Zex, he had to pilot it twice before he could actually overcome it.
Later, and he had a heart attack one time.
Yeah, he totally had a heart attack after the first time. But later in the show, Trace pilots it with no problem. He gets in it and he's like, "You're my bitch now. I'm piloting you because I'm that awesome."
I like that he has to have a bowl of roses for every Skype call. Like, he just...
I can't stand having to talk to you, so at least my room will smell good.
Oh, I think we're back to that gorillas fighting game.
Yeah, yeah, like, all the code in this is...
And then creepy fight.
Yeah, is he, like... So is he always watching Lady On?
Probably.
I mean.
And does she know? Because, you know.
I feel she does. I don't know if both
Lady Uns know.
Yes, that's right. I feel like the good Lady Un doesn't know. Versus the Lady Un who has the murder boner the size of the Eiffel Tower. She knows, and she gets off on that.
Yeah, so she's wait, into it.
Are they the same person, or are yes. they? So she's got like multiple personalities. Yeah,
when she is wearing her glasses and has her braid up, she's warlike, but she's peaceful when she's in her power suit and has her hair down.
She has a voice change,
and they glasses. Have
they and have she specifically doesn't remember that she's the other what like she has the other personality.
Yeah. They have referred to it in the show. It's not just our theory.
So, like, she makes different decisions based on how her hair is.
Yeah, like if you watch the Japanese version, like at least the Japanese version cares enough to give the two versions of Lady Un different voice actresses. So you know, like when she's got the deeper kind of sultry tone, it's the warlike Lady Un, and then when you get the light kind of flowery voice, it's good Lady Un. Although she has the best, like, she does recognize that she has two personalities, because when she meets some politician early on, he's like, "Don't you rec?" She's like, "Don't you recognize me?" And he's like, no. And she like holds up her glasses to her face. She goes, I'm Lady Un. And he's like, oh, the war tyrant.
Yeah. Because Lady Un with her hair up almost destroyed the world a couple of times through overreach.
But I still think up until this point, she has executed a gentleman at the best. Like she's had the best execution because that poor bastard she threw out of the back of that plane and could have let him. Yeah, she could have let him fall to his death. But instead, partway as he's falling from the plane and almost out of range, she shoots him through the heart as he's falling.
Well, I think that's just courtesy.
Well, it's courtesy. It's also taking no chances.
Fair.
There is a slight chance that they might survive the fall.
I mean, she even let him sit in like this little like love seat recliner chair before she threw him out.
I feel like we're recapping things that happened four episodes ago.
Thank you.
You basically are.
Yeah, like this fight, I don't think that was that long ago.
It really wasn't. You can definitely tell.
New helmet. He needs his old helmet back. He needs to get it fixed.
I can't recall if he ever dons the Zex Marquee hat, mask again in the series.
Like, he looks better with the mask on.
I think he might have it again in the movie.
Yeah, I really don't think he gets it back anymore because at some point he does decide to revert to his original state before the whole Zex thing. I can't remember when he makes that choice. I think it's coming up, though. Hey, look, it's our favorite. Let's suffocate us. Let's get suffocated in this prison.
Yeah. They're trapped in some sort of amphitheater prison that's always in shadow.
Man, like, if you wanted to know how to do a show,
I'll become the god of death once again. But right now, I need to sleep. That's like my
motivation before bed.
Sleep is the hey. You know what they say? Sleep is the cousin of death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Catcher built 01, which is the like ultimate death giant robot. And just kind of started killing people with it.
Yeah, there's a reason for that, but they haven't got to that yet. Have they even?
They've sort of explained what the Zero system is a little bit.
I want that gun.
Well, see, the first time he used it, it was because he was angry that they had Space Ferris wheels, and he did not appreciate Space Ferris wheels.
He, like, blew up the whole colony.
Yeah, it was really bad.
Base and a Ferris wheel.
Yeah, it was really bad. Like, they show him like outside the colony. He cuts his way in with using his shield or whatever, and then like when he gets inside, he somehow is at the place where they have a Ferris wheel, and he's just like looking at it angrily, and then blows up the colony. And we're like, well, he must not like child amusement rides.
Fear fights.
But, you know, God help you if you have a roller coaster. I'm just saying.
Listen, it's a safety hazard. He was doing that colony a favor.
Yes, because Lord knows the G-forces that can be applied to a Ferris wheel in 0G.
Well, you have to be extremely manly to survive the Ferris wheel.
The G-forces, yeah.
Unicorns.
Like we're this is the elegant gun ceremony.
Yes.
Are they actually gonna show that line where it says the gun has forgotten how to kill people?
Nah, I think we're just getting it as a voiceover in an unrelated fight.
Damn.
So Trace would be very against drones.
Very much so. But he would, but I bet Top Gun is his favorite movie.
Thank you for reminding me about those upsetting nipple vents. Glad we recap that.
There you go, Spence. See, and there you go.
They're all moving spacesuits for some reason.
Listen, we need nipple vents, okay?
It still looks strange when the, like, Henry VIII chief advisor pulls out a 45 and it starts
in his space station.
Yes, in a space station, the leader of the Tudors pulls out a 45.
Like, full, like, ankle length cape looks fantastic in space.
Oh, Lady Un.
Farewell, Lady Un. Your murders were never enough.
No! I don't want to be dead yet.
I love this because he actually has pictures of both Lady Uns.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to watch Star Trek to make myself feel better. Yeah.
Like, I love the fact that everyone in this show recognizes that she's got schizophrenia.
And they're like, it's fine.
We're not going to get this lady some help and some medication to try to help that imbalance. No, it works for my cause.
They accept her as she is. They're very forward thinking.
I mean, to be fair.
Napoleonic outfits.
Yeah. Robot fascists, they're very forward thinking.
Now, to be fair, Lady Un has been one of the strongest female characters in the show up to date until we met Sally Poe.
Oh, Sally Poe.
And then they have to go and kill her. What the hell?
I love how the Zero System irradiates you.
I was going to say, even in the recap, Heroes inexplicably irradiated.
Why is he glowing?
Because of emotions.
Yes, the Zero System expands your minds and gives you battle instinct, so it has to give you gamma rays, I guess.
Basically snaps a bunch of glow sticks over your head. And
why are we showing
characters? Hey! There you go. There you go, Jared. Your water mobile suits.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, and here's Sally Poe.
Yeah, we haven't got a lot of Sally Poe, but the Sally Poe we've gotten has been awesome.
And basically, Hero's number one move is, I'm going to ditch the Gundam in an ocean and no one will ever find it. And they always find it.
Like, I think it was Catra's choice this go-round. Like, he was like, you know,
why did they spread the Napoleonic fashion trends?
Well, Trey says he's going to bring it back.
Okay, here we do. It's the model.
I love this tease. Yes. Oh, not only
this is unfamiliar.
Yes, that is the tease. That tease right there is superb because
just create one?
Yes.
Yes, that's a new toy for you to buy.
Go buy this useless piece of plastic.
That is
I'm not watching this alternate dimension again.
She needs to go on the useless safari.
When does this happen?
Also, is she?
She's in a land of giant animals because that rhino looks like it's 20 feet tall.
It just hugely underlines her privilege to be like, oh, there's a space war on. I'm going to go on safari.
And bring my dog, apparently.
Yeah, my dad's taking me on vacation.
And I'm gonna hug some lions and an antelope and some parrots.
Maybe after Riker dad died, this is how she spent her inheritance.
Wow.
Look at how big that rhino is, man.
Look how big her
hat is.
I still don't understand what pulling on the tail will get you except getting a horn.
I mean, look at that outfit. Like,
as stupid as this extro is, I think that it's a metaphor for the way that she's constantly approaching Hero, who has explicitly stated that he wants to murder her, and yet she can't stop metaphorically pulling on the tail of the rhino, as it were.
Okay, so
next episode we do get evil Relina for the first time.
Yes, we do.
Sister or something, because it looks
like Zex's cousin and she has his eyebrows.
Okay, yeah. So it's not just me.
So the end of that episode is not only the reveal of a new mobile suit, but it's also her tease as well. And if I'm not mistaken, that's Dorothy, right?
Yes.
She's the next best thing to Lady Un. Like, she's fantastic because she's evil. She's evil Relena, and she knows it. Like, she, it's pretty damn awesome.
Okay, so to be clear here, Spence, going forward, you and I are both on the same blank page. I have never seen anything going on beyond this. I have no further context. I'm flying blind just like you.
All right, cyber high five.
Like, and as much as I love Jared, like, especially once the show kicked into gear, like, I feel Jared had started having a little more interest into it, and it's more fun. But I cannot wait until we get to show him G Gundam. Like, I just can't wait.
I envy you in that you managed to skip the entire high school sequence, and I don't even.
Don't worry, we get some space high school later.
Great. Right?
It's okay. I'm watching lots of terrible anime outside of this show. It's fine.
But you know what though? she missed Alfred though. She didn't get any of Alfred.
He'll be back. Oh,
I hope so. I hope he'll be back in that pink Cadillac.
Yeah, I was gonna say she didn't get any of the pink Cadillac either. Or inspector
Gadget.
They
sell Mary Kay in this universe?
Yeah. Well, I think so, but Verlina's probably the greatest of saleswomen because she had the pink Cadillac.
Gotcha.
Daddy Riker bought it for on Rigel 5 back when he was doing some...
When he was on the... Or when he took a stop to the Pleasure Planet?
The Pleasure Planet, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, like... Riker dad. Like, that's... Man, coming in now, you miss the exploding compact that Lady Un threw like a damn professional baseball player.
That was in the first recap.
I may go back and watch the previous episodes just so that I can fully grasp everything. Now that I have a subscription to something that has a dub and I can crochet while watching it.
Very nice.
It's Gundam Wing was my first Gundam series. I actually went back to watch Mobile Suit after watching Gundam Wing. And this, man, this has been an eye-opener because I hadn't watched it in years, even though I own it all on DVD. And it does not hold up, man. Woo, boy, howdy. The things you liked as a youth.
Indeed.
I'm afraid to go back and watch the original Ninja Turtles cartoon.
Listen, I can assure you, you'll go back and you'll be like, oh, this is pretty cheesy, but cheesy in exactly the right way.
With extra anchovies.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, I have exposed... Yeah, actually, not to sidetrack us too much, but I was just watching Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom not long before we came in here. And wow, it hurts to realize just how damaged that movie. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, I own those on VHS and actually went back to watch them. And I was like, because I still have a functioning DVD/VHS player. And honestly, what sucks is that it kind of resonates throughout the franchise. Just it seems to encapsulate itself in Temple of Doom. Like, it just seems to be concentrated there.
I would be interested in going through The Last Crusade and seeing how rough it is. Anyway, we're getting a little far from the war in space.
Indeed.
So since we just finished the second recap episode of all the 26 episodes, what has been your favorite moment thus far?
Duo, like, watching his Gundam get blown up on like a big public TV in front of a strip club and then him like trying to sneak into the base and immediately failing at it
while he was drinking milk.
Yeah.
Although it does have
trying to hit on like a female sergeant.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Didn't he later kill her? No, she sacrifices herself for him.
She later finds him and, like, helps him out.
It's kind of stunning, actually, looking back how many of these minor characters have come and gone in two or three episodes. The show does do a good job of that, even if it does kind of feel like, I don't want to accuse it feeling of like filler, but you get to the end and you look back and you go, oh, there's that sergeant and Inspector Ock and, you know, that guy who was really into Noin or whatever. And, you know,
those guys who are into Noin.
Yeah. What were that? Like, what did that add up to anyway?
Honestly, I gotta say my favorite part of this has been any time Lady Un has got to express her murder boner.
Like, yes.
I mean, like you don't understand. Like, I remember when we watched that episode where she, like, because she basically set this guy up to do some things for them, and then he gets on the plane like, yep, our plan succeeded. And she's like, it sure did. And then jettisons him out of the back of this plane.
And then following that, she like set a bunch of nuclear missiles to go off because it would trap the Gundams in the explosion. And like, yeah, like they narrowly avoid like them detonating. And then Trace is like, please be more careful with the environment.
Not the senseless murder, not the mass danger to innocent civilians.
Just the radiation would be a problem.
Yeah.
I have to go a different direction. I think my favorite thing about the show right now is probably, and I don't think I've made any secret of it, Dr. J and the Caddy Professors.
Yeah. You know what? I was right there with you, actually.
Yeah, the episode where they're essentially like just backstabbing and calling each other old out of the side of their mouths, and oh yeah, I noticed that was a problem a while ago, but I didn't want to make you feel bad, make you old guys worry about it. I'm all about that relationship, and I mean I'm a sucker for the cybernetic arm on any old wily scientist for whatever reason.
And it's not like he has a regular arm; he has a freaking like UFO catcher claw.
He loves Japanese video games, okay? Like he needs to get all the stuffed animals. So he's been practicing with it. By the way. Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say beating up the EMTs on the beach. That was a thing.
Yes.
That was like, why?
Well, and also, just so you know, they never show up again. So he killed them. They're dead.
Yeah. I believe it.
And that was when Relena knew she was in love. So
the unexcusable murder of these innocent EMTs reporting to a crash that he caused
makes everybody swoon.
Oh man, but that same episode or the episode after that was where we got Inspector Duo with his flying umbrella.
Yeah, with his like helicopter scythe. Yeah, and that's also the one where they were like, Duo or Hero has broken 180 bones in his body.
Yeah, and
he's fine.
Isn't that the wrench episode too?
Yeah, that's at the end of the episode he like wrenches his like back into place and ties it off.
No.
Oh man. Just
Splints it with some tools. Cause that's totally how splints work.
So here's a question for Jared and Spence. What do you guys think is coming up with the next part of the season? Now that we've got the two clip episodes out of the way, and now there's a fresh 26 coming your way.
I will go with my my projections first, since I know the least about it. They made their own Gundam, so now the original five have to go and find or rescue the Gundams that they have abandoned or destroyed and fix them up montage, and then big battle ensues, and somehow the main girl dies.
Oh, death to Relena, huh?
I mean, it makes sense. It causes conflict, and it's also prophecy fulfilling.
Oh, if Hiro accidentally kills her or something in like the last episode, oh, that would be that would be brutal. Okay, well, I'm gonna say at some point Trace is actually going to get in a Gundam and fight somebody, so that's got to happen pretty soon. Because up until this point, we've been dealing with, you know, sub boss Zex, but we haven't really actually seen him just hop up and fight somebody. I do think we'll see more unity out of the five main Gundam pilots. I can't see that they continue this annoying, like, everyone constantly in a fight with everyone else situation.
Well, that's going to go on forever, but that's how they're going to express their friendship.
Yeah, I'd like to see a little bit more coming on side with Zex himself, actually. I'd like to see non-helmet Zex appear more as a character as opposed to just... being the husk of former Zex.
He can't do that unless somebody remakes his mask.
Ooh. I like these predictions, Hugh. I do.
They are fun.
They are fun. Like, and honestly, they're not that far off. Like once things play out, you guys, if you'll have to go back and listen to this episode and see how close you were. Or how far off you were.
Yeah, maybe the last episode of this run, we'll have to go back and see how close we were.
And then we're going to take a two-day break and immediately go into G Gundam so we can watch Super Saiyan Gundams fight each other.
I need to see this live-action Gundam thing that I've been warned about.
Oh, you mean that live-action movie that came out, was it like the 90s, I think it was?
Yeah, was that not Gundam Wing specific?
No, it was not.
G-Savior is a whole other thing.
Yeah, G-Savior, oof.
I have a weird hankering to see that. Maybe mid between seasons or something.
You have fun with that. Yeah. I'm going to watch my bad anime romances and have fun with mine.
Indeed. Okay, so that was episode 28.
Yes, it was.
And I've been Hugh. You can find me at HughJOdonnell.com.
I'm Jared. You can find me over at Skinner.fm.
And I'm Jason. You can find me at TalkNerdyToMePodcast.com.
And I'm Spence. You can find me at ResonantMoon.com.
And until next time, I'll kill you.
Why is it glowing?
Come kill me, Hiro!
I can fix all of this with a wrench.
What are you doing in the kitchen?
Writing a short story.
With a meat mallet?
Well, yeah. My characters are giving me trouble.
Well, then what about the cheese grater?
I have to make sure my plot points are evenly spread through the whole story, don't I? Oh, my action scene is done.
Wow, you got it perfectly browned.
350 degrees for 12 minutes. Perfect.
The Melting Potcast, a writing variety show featuring a little of everything, from everyone, everywhere. Short and flash fiction, author interviews, book reviews, and more. Come visit the Disaster Kitchen and cook up a story. Something's burning.
My dialogue!